So one day as Jesus was walking along the shore, this is a third shoreline passage that inspires the name of this meeting that we have here every Sunday night. As he's walking on the shore of the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, also called Peter, and Andrew. They're throwing a net into the water, for they fished for a living. And Jesus called out to them, "Come, follow me, and I will show you how to fish for people." And they left their nets at once and followed him. Get out your Bibles, get out your journals, get out your phones. Let's take some notes, let's underline some things. Let's remember this truth. I'm going to dig into this passage, these three verses. I'm going to show you some cross-references. You can jot out in the margin. You can make a note in your app. Hey, check this cross-reference when you get back to this passage. I'm going to take you to a few other passages that enlighten this one. I'm going to highlight some things on the screen. I encourage you to highlight them. Y'all bring your Bibles. In a couple weeks, we're going to have journals here. If you want to buy a journal, we're going to have Shoreline journals. If that will help you, I think it's very helpful to write something down. It helps me remember it. But if you don't have any of that stuff right now, get out your phone. But bring a Bible, underlining, highlighting, jotting notes in a margin that will serve you well for the rest of your life. Start making that habit right now. All right, we're going to make 4 points. My first point is based on these little words right here in the scripture is this. Jesus saw the two brothers. So here's my first point. God sees you. God sees you right here, right now, in this room. He knows your exact situation in life, whether you are in a pile because you didn't make drill team, or whether you're on top of the world because you're the captain of your football team or cross-country team or whatever it is. God sees your exact position in life. And let me just tell you this. He's not any more impressed with you because you made something than you didn't make something, because you have something or you don't have something or you look a certain way. We know that's true because Peter and Andrew were unimpressive men. They were simple fishermen. In the book of Acts, it says they were unschooled and ordinary. That's how they were described. They didn't even have a college degree, probably not even what was equivalent to a high school diploma. And yet Jesus saw them and he noticed them. And he called them by name. And right now, God is looking down at you. And on you. He sees each and every one of us. Cross-reference for this is Psalm 139, verses 1 through 3, and then I threw in 16. The psalmist says, "O Lord, you've examined my heart, and you know everything about me." God knows everything about you. You know when I sit down or when I stand up. You know my thoughts, even when I'm far away. You see me when I travel to Shoreline or when I rest at home. You know everything I do. You know the secret things that I do when no one's home. You know the things that I do that I keep hidden from my church friends. You know it all. You saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed. God sees you. He sees you. You are laid bare before him. And here's what's crazy is he still calls out to you. Like he loves you right where you are. If you don't hear anything else tonight, hear this. God loves you. Exactly who you are and where you are. Whether you're the biggest hypocrite in this room or whether you have washed yourself up as clean as possible, God loves you the same. Either way, God sees you. Let's go back to the passage. He saw them and he noticed that they fished for a living. Madeline's thing was drill team. Their thing was fishing. Drill team's not a bad thing. Fishing's not a bad thing. Here's my point. Everyone's living for something. You are living for something. And one moment these guys were living for fishing, and the next moment they were living for Jesus. And so I already kind of asked you this, but I encourage you tonight to examine what are you living for. As God sees you, what does he see you living for? He saw them casting their nets and fishing. What nets are you casting? I live to please my parents a lot of the time. Like, get good grades, stay out of trouble, then they won't bug me. And I'll kind of get affirmed. I'll get an ice cream cone when I get straight A's, whatever it is. I would get an ice cream cone. You guys probably get like $100 or something. So not fair. But I lived to please my parents. Like I said earlier, I lived to be Zach Morris. I wanted to be popular and in control. That's just what I had there. And I wanted Kelly Kapowski. All I got was Keisha. It wasn't even close. But that was my only girlfriend in high school, was Keisha. She kind of looked like Kelly because she was a girl and had brown hair. Other than that, not really. But that's what I lived for. Isn't that sad? Like, I lived for popularity, recognition, staying out of trouble. Like, that was my whole life. And I looked like that picture you saw earlier. You know, that pale, frowny guy. Like, that's who I was trying to be. So what are you living for? Investigate that, because you're living for something. You want to look a certain way, achieve a certain goal? What is it? It might not be a bad thing, but it's something you're living for other than Jesus. Let's go back to the passage. My third point. Check it out. He calls out to them and he says, come follow me and I will show you how to fish for people. Highlight that, and here's the third point. God has a huge plans for you. You don't understand how monumental and how huge this moment was in the lives of Peter and Andrew, but in the lives of everyone that would come after them. You are sitting here in this room because of what happened in this moment. There would be no such thing as church if this moment hadn't happened. Jesus had a huge plan for them. Huge. It was, I mean, they're not famous. They're not influential in your life because they were fishermen. You are not going to leave a lasting impression in this world. You're not going to make your mark. You're not going to serve a purpose because you led your team to the state championship. You're going to turn into Uncle Rico if you do that. For real. You're going to be, you know, if you are the prettiest girl in your school, you know what you're going to end up as? A Real Housewife of New Jersey, Orange County, you name it. You're going to be sick because you're going to have to keep that up because that's what you're living for. So you're going to have surgeries and injections and you're just going to be sick, carrying around dogs everywhere. Like, why do you want to be that? But that's what you're trying to be right now. You're trying to be pretty. That's who you're going to be if that's what you're living for. And you're going to be Uncle Rico. And you're going to be Brett Favre. Really successful, but now he's a joke. Sorry if you're a Brett Favre fan, but just Google News Brett Favre and see what he's been up to lately. It's kind of dumb. All right? You're going to be washed up if you're living for those things. I'll tell you this, Peter and Andrew never washed up. Check out what they ended up doing. Together we are his house, this is the church, and we're built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, and the cornerstone is Christ Jesus himself. So Jesus grabbed these guys, and he said, all right, I'm the cornerstone, we're going to make the foundation, and we are going to build something that is going to last forever until this world ends. And you are going to be a part of the foundation. He had a huge plan for them. Look what it says specifically about Peter. Jesus says this to him at the end of Matthew. I say to you that you're Peter, which means rock, and upon this rock I will build my church, and all the powers of hell will not conquer it. Okay, so you can be a part of, hey, the school down the road won't conquer our team, or you can be a part of, hell won't conquer what I'm a part of. God has huge plans for you. It's more than fishing. Whatever you are fishing for, God has something better. Unless you're fishing for men and following him. Back to the passage. The last little bit I want to highlight is what they did in response to Jesus seeing them, noticing what they were living for, but then telling them that he had a plan that was huge and bigger than what they're in the middle of. Here's how they responded. I love verse 20. I mean, it's one of the best verses in all of the Bible. And they left their nets at once and followed him. Here's my last point. Following Jesus means leaving your nets. You can't be a fisherman and follow Jesus. You can't keep fishing and also walk where he's going. They had to decide, boom, drop the nets. I'm going where he's going. Doesn't mean you have to quit your team. Doesn't mean, you know, you have to not put on makeup in the morning. It doesn't mean that you can't be social. It just means that if that's what you're living for, if that is your life, then your life can't also be Jesus. But it's, you can live for him and be a football player. You can live for him and have friends and date. You can live for him and look cute. But you can't live for looking cute and also live for him. And so, you know, the questions I want to ask you is, these guys abandoned everything to follow Jesus. What does this look like for you? What do you abandon? I mean, it might look like this girl named Katie Davis, right? And it probably won't for most of us. You know, kisses from Katie, anybody? This girl graduates high school. She's got a serious boyfriend. She's like valedictorian, class president, popular girl. She's got plans to go to college. She's got a scholarship. But over Christmas break, before her last semester of her senior year, she goes on a mission trip to Uganda. Her heart breaks for all these people. And when she graduates, she says, pass on the college scholarship. I'm moving to Uganda. Now, fast forward like 3 or 4 years later, she stayed there and she's got 13 kids she's adopted. She abandoned everything. She laid down her nets. She followed him. And she is feeding and caring for multitudes of people over there. Because she just said, Jesus, I'll follow you. And I'll be used however you want. Now, it might look like that. That's an extreme example. You know what else it might look like? You don't make the drill team. And you cry for one night and you go, God, what's your plan? You have plans for me that I don't know about. Okay, I'll do student congress. I'll just embrace what you have for me, God, and I'll do it for you rather than for myself. That's probably what it looks like for most of you. What do you need to embrace that God is bringing into your life that you're fighting against because you're going for your own plans? Following Jesus means leaving your nets. And we all are mending our own little nets, getting them ready to go fishing for what we want. But God has huge, huge plans for you. Let me show you one picture that I have with me, and then I'm going to close. You know, I said God has huge plans for you, and you could fish for men. This is a picture from when I was 10 years old at Kanakuk, at K Country in Barn 4. This is Jay Cleveland, Chuck Price, my counselors. And those guys could have done anything that summer, 1989. That's a long time ago, I know. They, aging. They could have done anything. They could have studied abroad. They could have done summer school and graduated a little bit earlier. They could have gone back home and worked and saved up more money. But they took a low-paying job in a humid camp in the middle of Branson, Missouri, and they loved on 10-year-olds with the love of Christ. And these guys led me into a saving relationship with Jesus. They helped me understand my sin, the distance that I had from God, and how I needed a sacrifice to pay my price, and how that sacrifice was Jesus, and I could trust my life to it. That matters way more than anything else they've ever done in their lives. Maybe not to them, maybe not to anyone else, but it does to me. And that's going to last. I'm going to see these guys in heaven. I'm going to wrap my arms around them and I'm going to thank them and I'm going to share with them how God's used me. And we're going to celebrate for all eternity. And they're never going to high-five me about the goal I scored in soccer when I was a junior in high school. The intramural flag football championship that I still have the t-shirt for, they won't care about that. I'm never getting rid of that. It's the only thing I've ever won. God had a huge plan for them. And being a counselor at camp might not seem like a huge plan, but it's monumental, people. And that's what you can be a part of. So here's how I want to close with the lyrics from that song that Gabby sang for us. I choose Jesus. I choose Jesus. The one who first chose me. I choose him. I choose Jesus for now and eternity. And realize this. He sees you. I want to remind you that he chose you first. I'm not telling you, all right, here's what you need to do. You need to choose Jesus. Now go clean yourself up, put down your nets, fix yourself up, and then he'll call you. He's already calling you. He sees you. He's calling you. He's beckoning you. He loves you right where you're at. He's chosen you. Now the choice is yours. Will you choose Jesus this year? You don't have to earn your spot on that team. You don't have to try out. You don't have to make it. He wants you. Choose Jesus. Let me pray and have a few announcements before we get out of here. God, I pray that every person that walks out of this room is going to wrestle and try to figure out, what does it look like to lay down my nets and follow you, Jesus, this year? I want to be wholly, completely devoted to you. I want to have an impact on student congress or the cross-country team or the football team or in school or, you know, in choir. Whatever it is, God, I choose you over that pursuit. But use that pursuit, God, if you've put me there. I pray that we are just asking that question over and over again. God, I'm here. What for? What do you want me to do? I'm following you. I'm your servant. God, would you help us to choose you every single day and show us what that looks like. And God, I pray that you'd show everybody in here what those huge plans are that you have for them, and they would begin to see life change all around them because they're following you and realize the eternal, not temporary, impact that they are having by just choosing to follow you. Let them see what it feels like to be a fisher of men and how glorious that is. In Jesus' name, amen.